listening to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Well, later on, we're going to take a look at Starbucks workers versus billionaires for Bush. But first, NLRB upholds ban on off-duty fraternizing among co-workers? Now, wait a minute. You mean if I want to hang out with Vajra from Huzzy Notebook or Max from Old Time Radio or Ken Nash, my co-workers, I might be fired according to the appointed members of Bush's seats on the National Labor Relations Board? Couldn't be, but we'll find out from David Bonya, chair of the American Rights at Work.
David, we've come a long way since when the National Labor Relations Act was enacted in 1935, 40 years ago, to promote unionism. But this most recent ruling by the National Labor Relations Board, is it as bad as it sounds that we can't get together with our friends at work after work?
Well, it's even worse than that. I mean, it's what they're doing here is continuing to narrow the opportunity for workers to associate, which is a basic principle and right that Americans have, their right to come together and to associate. We have the right of free speech, presumably the right to free religion, the right to a fair trial, and the right to associate. And the right to associate is not as talked about or debated about or heard much about, but it is critical to these other rights, because without the right to come together and associate, you can't organize to gain the right to free speech or to protect it if you have it, or to do the same with the other rights that I mentioned. So it's very critical, and with the National Labor Relations Board, which given the power to enforce the laws with respect to workers, it's supposed to help the workers organize as opposed to restrict them. They have narrowed it with this ludicrous decision, a futile decision, if you will, which basically says that you can't fraternize with an employee friend after work, getting a beer at a bar or at a barbecue or going out for a cup of coffee or whatever you want. You can't do that because, you might come together and decide that maybe you might want to have solidarity in forming a union, and that's
Wait
not
a minute.
Good.
I've got to stop you because I thought we jumped the gun a little bit. I don't think people still get it. I was reading a heading that said Big Brother Nix's Happy Hour. And I think we should just deal with some of the specific facts and then get into the overall political implications, because I just figured, why even cover this? It's such an aberration. I mean, how can you possibly tell employees that they're banned from off-duty fraternizing? But tell us more about the specifics of that decision, and then we'll continue with where you were going, which is the enormity of the implications.
There's a company called GuardMark. And they're a company that provides security for other companies. They issued a ruling that says that you couldn't, as an employee, ban with other employees and fraternize after work hours. As ridiculous as it sounds, that's what they did. And the Service Employees Union, SEIU, which represented these workers, took this to the National Labor Relations Board, claiming the company's work rules inhibit the employees' Section 7 rights. Now, what is Section 7? Section 7 is really the heart of the National Labor Relations Act, which grants workers the right to self-organize, to form or join or assist labor organizations in engaging in union activities, to come together collectively for mutual aid and protection at the workplace. So the SEIU put this before the board, thinking that the board would shoot down GuardMark efforts here. And in fact, by a 2-1 decision, the two Republicans, Bush people, upheld the decision. That's how we got to where we are today. And basically, it says you can't fraternize. And that's real serious.
So in order to test this, somebody would have to basically put themselves at risk of being fired?
That's the key point. Thank you, Ken. In America, workers are what we call at-will workers. If you don't have a union representing you, you can be fired at the will of the employer. It's not the way it works in some more progressive countries, but that's the way it works here. So workers will hear this now, and they will say to themselves, why put my job at risk by associating with other workers after work?
But, Mr. Bonnier, and we should say we also are dealing with somebody here who is a former congressperson who is now and has been championing the rights of workers. I'm going to put on my lawyer's hat now and say, wait a minute, Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act grants workers the right to self-organization, to form and join or assist labor organizations and engage in collective bargaining. So, wait a minute, they can't tell us that we can't fraternize. I mean, How could we possibly be at risk? Why aren't we protected by Section 7?
Because the board said you weren't protected by Section 7 here.
Well, you've convinced me now.
And that's the law. And according to the National Labor Relations Board, which was given the responsibility to enforce the law. And so, you know, workers will, when they hear about this, and they will because it's such a ridiculous decision, you're going to eventually, I think, end up hearing this on Jay Leno or David Letterman or The Daily Show or some other place. I mean, they'll make jokes of this because of how outrageous it is. But people will, you know, hear about it, and you know, they'll be concerned in terms of the ability to retain their work, which is important for them.
I don't know that people will hear about it in that way. It doesn't seem as if the mass media talks about these issues. In fact, I don't see the outrage at this and other important decisions that the NLRB has made, like, for instance, with regard to graduate teaching assistance recently. I don't see the outrage over these kinds of rights at work. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think you're right, and I may be wrong, but I've actually made an effort to contact these people so they knew about it, so we'll see if they use it at all. Why is it? Well, it's a very, very, very good question. There's very little attention in the press today to the denial of rights of workers. And if you look at the recent decisions of the National Labor Relations Board over the last year and a half, they've been chipping away, as you just pointed out, Ken, at these rights, the graduate assistance situation being one, can't join a union, temporary workers now are basically banned from joining a union. There were a number of other decisions that were made, chipping away and narrowing the rights of workers at the workplace. And it's seriatim chipping away. It may not appear to be significant to some people, but it is. In their individual pieces and certainly in the aggregate, it's terribly debilitating to workers. And it's just not sexy enough for folks to get a hold of. And we have very few labor reporters in this country. There's maybe a dozen in labor reporters in all the newspapers in the country today. And there aren't a lot of people that pay attention to this. This one, though, is so outrageous and so ridiculous that we actually have a chance to break through. We put this up on our American Rights at Work website. We have something called Eye on the NLRB, a Workers Watch, and we take the NLRB decisions and we analyze them. And we put this up on our website, and we've got an enormous reaction from it, and of course, a number of pundits and writers have written about this already, and so I think this one is a way in which we can draw the lines and make the connections with reactionary policies of this administration in respect to workers.
See, actually, I think Leno would pick up on it. The sad part about it is it would remain in the venue of humor rather than issues of workers' rights. So you move from a ban on fraternization, which of course inevitably chills people's speech and association, to a U.S. labor law study that finds that U.S. labor law is really unable to meet democratic standards in elections for union representation. I guess this goes to really almost the question that Ken asked a moment ago. How, what, why? And we can't even have free and fair elections when we're voting for a union. So tell us more about the study.
Well, it's very, very difficult. I, as someone who was in elected office for 30 years, had to run every 2 years, could never get elected under the regime of how you have to run a union election campaign today. It's so one-sided and so unfair. There's a debate going on in the country. Let me just preface my remarks by saying this. One side argues that the current National Labor Relations Board system of having elections must restrict all forms of union recognition to the process of what they call a secret ballot to safeguard democracy. We should stay basically with the system we have, which problem. And there are another set of folks say that there are other things besides a secret ballot that are important in a free and a fair election. So what we did at American Rights at Work is we commissioned a fellow by the name of Gordon Laffer, who is a PhD at the University of Oregon, to do a report. And what Gordon Laffer did is he put together some basic criteria on what constitutes a free and a fair democratic election. And he looked at some very fundamental criteria like the writings of our founding fathers, federal and state, the laws that govern elections, legislative history and how these laws came about, standards our government uses to judge elections held by other countries. And he also went ahead and he came up with a set of general principles to compare the National Labor Relations Board election procedures with normal American standards of a free and fair election, and things like equal access to the media, freedom of speech, equal access to voters, you know, their files, if there's voter coercion, the timely implementation of the voters' wills, and those kinds of things. And basically, the upshot of all of this is he concluded that the union representation elections fall alarmingly short of living up to the most fundamental tenets of democracy. And he also pointed out that the inclusion of a secret ballot does not change the fact that the process as a whole is fundamentally, and these are his words, broken and unfair. There's no equal access to the media between employers and employees. There is no freedom of speech. All of these pieces, the equal access to voters, voter coercion, all of these things are so balanced against workers and in favor of employers that it needs to be changed. And I can give you specifics on all of this. I mean, 25% of all organizers in election campaigns are illegally fired during organizing campaigns. As you can imagine, the chilling effect that sends. 34% of employers coerce workers into opposing unions with bribes or special favors. Half of the employers illegally threatened to close down their work sites if the employees decide that they want a union representing them. And then you got these one-on-one meetings where a supervisor gets an employee inside the workplace and grill them about the need to keep the union out. And the unions have none of this access. And as we've just talked about, they're prohibited from even fraternizing now, according to an NLRB ruling, outside the workplace to talk about this. So it's just totally out of balance today.
David Bonnier, the $64,000 question. What needs to be done? Is it that the National Labor Relations Board needs more staff? Does it need to be enforced the existing law better? Or do we need a new law?
Well, we need a new law, we need a new staff, and we need a new board. The law is 70 years old now. American Rights at Work, our organization, is going to hold a year from now. We're going to have a call on papers and get some of the best scholars to try to figure out what needs to be done to change the law. It's going to be a very serious effort we're making to put this together. We need to change the board members because it clearly tilts against workers. And the staff ratio, by the way, and I'm glad you raised that, because 1980 there were two and a half times more staff people at the NLRB making decisions so that they would expedite these decisions in a fair way. But today, these cases sit there for months and years and languish, and workers are denied their right to form a union as a result.
Oh, miles to go before we sleep. But with an organization like American Rights at Work, we're a step closer. Democracy Denied at Work, Big Brother, Nixine, Happy Hour. Oh, goodness.
But this has nothing to do with this.
Well, we know that we have our work cut out for us. David Bonnier, tell us the website where people can get more information about American Rights at Work, get those papers in, participate in the conference that will be coming up, and make a sea change in the laws and the processes that provide for labor to organize on behalf of itself.
Well, quickly, I believe we are going to change all of this. I just think this has gone so far to the right, and it will change, but people have to get engaged and enraged and activated. They can get connected with us at AmericanRightsAtWork.org. That's American Rights, plural, S, at AmericanRightsAtWork.org, and you can sign up. And we've got some really interesting things that are coming out the next couple of months. We've got a human rights tour we'll be doing around the country with human rights leaders from Africa and Latin America, Asia and Europe, joining our human rights activists here, exploring these problems. That'll be this fall in October, and then for Labor Day, we're coming out with our best places to work in America, contrasting that with the nine best places, and contrasting that with the Walmarts and the Comcast and those companies. So we've got some interesting things that'll be happening, and you can get a lot of this on our website, and we encourage people to dial up.
We thank David Bonnier, Chair of American Rights at Work, for joining us. We'll speak with you again in the near future.
Thank you. Have a great week.
And we're going to find out how not to get burned by Starbucks coffee.
Union.
Yeah, well, burned up.
Scandalo.
Bomba.
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, the sound came to be a continuity from the ashes of the old. This wisdom is cold. Brothers and sisters, it's time to look around. If we don't come master, we'll be driven to the ground.
Union plus day. Starbucks wages.
The first line of Starbucks Coffee Company's mission statement is to provide a great work environment and treat each other with respect and dignity. Recently fired Starbucks barista Sarah Bender found out the hard way that looks can be deceiving. She was fired for attempting to improve the work environment that the company claims to be already providing. She was fired for union organizing.
Union busting! Starbucks wages! Union busting!
What do we want?
Union!
What do we want? It?
Now!
What do we want?
Union!
And I'm outside Starbucks at 1st Avenue and 17th Street, where the IWW, the Wobblies, are picketing. With Sarah Bender, who was fired from this location of Starbucks for, they say, stealing?
It was technically cash mishandling of $6. It was mysteriously missing from my drop bag at the end of the night. And you have to be within $5 over and under, so it was pretty obviously that they just made it up.
But why would they make up a thing like that?
Well, they knew for about 8 months that I was involved with the Starbucks Workers Union campaign of the IWW and then had done a lot of discriminatory implementation disciplinary policies with me. Basically, like, if, you know, like any job, if they like you, they'll overlook certain policies, and if they have a reason to get rid of you, then they'll find any way to do that. And about a week before I was fired, someone overheard my manager discussing her plans to fire me for my union activity. So it's pretty much a shut case as far as their reasons go.
Well, maybe their reasons, but maybe not your reasons. You got a picket line out here. Are you following up with the National Labor Relations Board on this?
Yeah. We're adding my charge against them with a whole slew of charges that we have against Starbucks Coffee Company for interrogating, discriminating, coercing union members and other baristas to not join the union. But yeah, we're firing the ULP with the Labor Board.
But why were you involved with unionizing to begin with? I mean, Walmart calls their employees associates and Starbucks says you're partners. Why are partners unionizing against their partners?
It's pretty obvious that we're called partners, but we really aren't even treated like anything more than partner numbers. Like Walmart, Starbucks tries really hard to cut labor costs as much as possible, which means they'll hire a whole lot of people and keep everyone's number hours down around like 14 or 15, which, as you know, working in New York City at $8.25 an hour, 14 hours a week, just doesn't cut it for paying rent, forcing a lot of us to get second or third jobs. The scheduling is really consistent. Like, you might feel like 1 week you get enough hours, so okay, maybe I don't need to pick up another job. But definitely if you have any kind of commitments like paying rent, having kids, tuition, anything that a normal person has in today's days and age, this job just doesn't cut it, like a lot of other retail jobs. So this is more than just bringing a union to Starbucks. It's really trying to raise awareness about the fact that retail industry is the fastest growing industry in the country, yet all these jobs don't provide decent lives for people.
Now, when we first started following the unionization drive at Starbucks, there didn't seem to be too many workers involved. What's been happening? Are more and more workers going to the union banner?
The positive things about me getting fired is that we came out public again as a union. We had been kind of underground organizing for a while. And also, thanks to the company continuing to cut workers' hours and treating them with lots of disrespect, the interest for the union has indeed grown. We go in and visit workers in the evening times, and the response from them has been really overwhelming. And like anything, you know, there's logistical issues with organizing retail, which is why other unions haven't touched it, i.e. our schedules are all very inconsistent. It's hard to find times to meet when we all can. But, you know, that's something that we just have to fight through. And, yeah, our membership is indeed growing.
And how do people get in touch with the union to support you or maybe to join?
Check out StarbucksUnion.org. Or you could give one of our contacts, and he's a barista at 2nd Avenue and 9th with the union, called Pete Montalbano, and his phone number is 917-496-6534, 917-496-6534. In either of those ways, we can talk to you individually first about more what we're about how to organize your store. And then, of course, like, the more people that people can meet with that are involved, that'd be great.
Is this breaking up right now? Are people moving to a new location?
Yeah, we're heading over to Cooper Union store. There's a bit more foot traffic there to do our thing, so we're going to head over there.
Take a walk, okay.
All right.
It's a new millennium, new piece of history. All the workers come together, it's time for unity. While the rich just get richer, the poor keep on giving. That's a sign of the times, reality is what we're living.
The media is deception, we get handed lies. But you can't cheat a worker, cause a worker is wise. Day after day, we have to keep it going. Year after year, the union keeps growing. Taking until millions that they never work to earn. But without a brain and muscle, not a single wheel could turn. Not a force on earth is weaker than the...
Well, I arrived at the Cooper Union Starbucks before the workers did, but who should be here but billionaires for Bush, waiting for the workers? Are you waiting for the workers here, Mr. Billionaire?
Yes, we got a press release that there was going to be a picket here today. We thought we'd come and defend Starbucks and their better business actions by union busting and lower living wages.
Better business actions? I think I'll write you off and try for one of your comrades here.
Well... Last year, the CEO of Starbucks gave himself a 44% raise. And to me, as a billionaire for Bush, that is just laudable. And I'm so pleased to see corporate CEOs going that route and not being dissuaded by silly protesting or anything like that. Now, what we're seeing today is... a young woman named Bender. Well, don't defend her. Who was fired for attempting to organize a union, as I understand it. And, well, that's just good business practice. And so we're here to defend Starbucks and all corporate union busting.
And you're receiving any money for defending Starbucks? Wouldn't that be in line with your philosophy?
We get paid no matter what because we our power is so entrenched. Well, Ms. Dividends, I believe, is a stockholder, if
yes,
that counts.
Of course. And our stock recently jumped 23.3%, as Ms. Dividends will tell you.
Ms. Diva?
I just called my broker and ordered 1,000 more shares of Starbucks Corporation. This is absolutely better billionaire business sense, union busting, that is. And any Starbucks manager should know. You must separate the good beans from the bad ones.
Right. If I could add, people need to realize that sometimes when you keep a close eye on the bottom line, you must keep your workers even closer to the poverty line.
Absolutely.
Well, this man over here has been concurring in everything, but not much else. So do you have anything to say besides absolutely?
Well, of course. I mean, for one thing, people have to understand. They love Starbucks so much, but the reason is it's the cheaper labor that makes the flavor. If it weren't for cheap labor, where would Starbucks' inimitable flavor come from? I don't really know what they have to complain about. If they want full-time wages, they should get two or three jobs.
And, you know, if I may, I'm actually a little bit shocked because I learned today that Starbucks workers make more than the minimum wage. I find that astonishing.
Yeah, it's part of our publicity strategy to look blue but think red, you see.
Oh, I see. Yes. And it's 25 cents more than the minimum wage or something like that. I mean, it's not too egregious, but still it gave me a pause. But what you say?
Yes. We think are in New York,
red.
After all, and
yes.
We have to keep in mind our customer base, fooled though they are, that we are progressive.
Yes.
Well, I have to commend all of you on your candor and honesty. Although I think what you're saying is totally retrograde, at least you're expressing truthfully the way you feel, which is probably the way most capitalists feel, but they won't say it. So why don't we shut you guys up, because you have enough publicity outlets, and wait for the workers.
What is that?
Oh, no.
The workers are coming.
What do we want?
Union!
When do we want it?
Now!
What is Starbucks workers? What?
Union!
When do we want it?
Coincidentally, billionaires for Bush are here. We'll take care of this. You have nothing to fear. Continue to enjoy your beverages.
Yeah. Thank you, Ivy Lee.
Yes. Dr. DeBooks, please go find out what's happening.
What is this silly union thing? What is this? Let me have one of those. Such nonsense!
Outrageous! Pay us a decent livable wage? Are you kidding?
Nonsense!
Let me see that. Livable wages?
Provide adequate staffing at all times? Well, that'll wreck my profits!
Absurd!
What nonsense.
What do we want?
Union!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Union!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Union!
When do we want it?
Now!
They want a union or nothing.
You billionaires!
one. Trust me, you're going down.
Where's Miss Stenz? Miss Stenz, lead us on a rousing cheer.
We proudly screw Starbucks workers. It's true we brew Starbucks coffee, but we screw Starbucks workers.
Starbucks workers deserve better. We deserve a living wage. We deserve guaranteed minimum hours. We deserve a safe workplace free of repetitive stress injuries.
Greasers, come and join us.
Unfair labor.
Cheap.
You want to keep your money and not give it to your workers.
That's absolutely correct. I'm glad you understand. Don't you understand the values of big business?
The money right there in your pocket.
In my pocket? We're flaunting it. Here, can't we buy you off? What was that? I can't buy you off. Where's the profit spirit?
The workers united shall never be defeated.
The union united will never be defeated.
The workers united will never be defeated.
Your time is over, man. You're going down.
Woo! Starbucks workers deserve a union now.
1, 2, 3, 4. We've got billions. We want more. Stop. 1, 2, 3.
Rehire Sarah Bender, Starbucks. Stop all union busting now.
Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame.
You want to eat into our profits with your minimal wages?
And we've been talking with members of the Starbucks Workers Union, their supporters, and to some extent with billionaires for Bush. I'm Ken Nash outside the Starbucks Coffee House. At Cooper Union. This has been a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special.
Profit! 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 Profit!
All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever.